We continue while learning the Mishnah. Started by Menachem Moshe and Chaim Yaakov and Benichos Eliyahu. We are in Bavar Basra, Perek Beis Mishnah Test. Marchikin es hanevelos ves hakavaros ves abursikim min ha'ir chamishim amos. The following have to be distanced from the city 50 amos because of their foul odor. Nevelos are dead animals that may be left outside of the city to rot or maybe for dogs to eat them. Kavaros are, this applies even to a single grave or several graves and certainly a cemetery, should be 50, a minimum of 50 amos from the beginning of the city. A bursiki is a tannery. All also give off foul smells. The wind may bring it into the city. 50 amos is away so that the smell won't enter the city. Then the Mishnah says, Ein osin bursiki ela lemizrach ha'ir. When it comes to a bursiki, the Mishnah here says that it should only be placed, not only do we need it to be 50 amos away from the city, but it should only be placed lemizrach ha'ir, to the east of the city. Why is that? Because as opposed to the nevelos and the kavaros, they may produce an odor every once in a while and may be dispersed, but the bursiki really is something that is constantly producing a foul odor, and therefore if you want the tannery, the bursiki, away from the city, has to not only be 50 amos, but it has to be in a place where the wind is not going to bring the smell into the city. So if it's according to the Tanakhama, it has to be set up in the east of the city, because the eastern wind is not the strong wind. That's the wind that blows from east to the west. That's usually a warm wind. It's mild. It's not strong. Doesn't carry the odors significantly. And that would not apply to the graves, to the kvaros and the nevelos, because that doesn't have the same foul odor that we'll get rid of quite quickly. And we don't have to be worried, as opposed to the tannery where the smell is there all the time. Rabbi Akiva Omer disagrees with this. Tanakhama said the bursiki has to be placed in the east of the city, because the eastern wind is a mild wind and it won't carry the foul odor to a great extent. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva Omer l'chol ruach lose. He's more lenient. He says you could make a bursiki in any direction. Remember, the bursiki has to be 50 amos from the city, but there also has to be placed in this particular place, according to the Tanakhama, in the east of the city. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you can make it, actually put it in any direction, chutz b'ma'arava, except in the west. And of course, umarchik chamishamama has to be a distance of 50 amos. What does that mean? Rabbi Akiva says that 50 amos is enough. The odor of the tannery is no different than the nevelos and the kvaros, than the dead animals and the graves. It's not a problem at all. So why can't then we put the tannery in the west? What's wrong with that? It should be able to be put it anywhere. So the answer is, because the west, we say shechina b'marav. What means shechina b'marav? Think about where in the Beis HaMikdash itself. The enter the Beis HaMikdash in the east, but where the Kodesh HaKodeshim was, where the shechina really sat, on the kaporos, bein akruvim, that was in the west. That's why the Kotel has such great significance as all the walls, because beyond the Kotel is really the holiest part of the Beis HaMikdash. In Eretz Yisrael, the idea is to face west, because Shechina B'Marav, one of the reasons why we turn around at L'Chadodi, even though we're facing east, facing the Aron, which is normally in the east, to greet the Shechina for Shabbos, we turn around to the west. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, I'm not worried about the smell, but the fact that it's a tannery and it does have a foul odor, it's inappropriate that it be placed in the west of the city, but it can be placed anywhere else, and the 50 amma distance is sufficient. Perek Beis Mishnah Yud. Marchikin es hamishram en hayorak, says the Mishnah, we have to distance, and it doesn't give us a particular distance. The assumption is, according to some, maybe it's the same 50 amos, or maybe it's to the extent whatever is really necessary. So here you have two people who have different properties. One neighbor has mishra, he's soaking flax, and the other has yarak, has vegetables. Vesakrishin min habitzalim. You have to distance krishin, which is cress, type of herb, from bitzalim, from onions, because it can harm them. Vesachar dolmen hadavorim. And mustard seed, which is planted, has to be have distance from his neighbor who has devorim, who has bees there. So we're afraid that the mishra, the soaked flax, is going to cause also has a terrible odor that may come into the ground. It could harm the vegetables as it seeps into the ground. The kreshim, the cress, can damage the growing onions, because maybe the onions won't have a sharp taste anymore. And the chardol, And the mustard, if it's planted near a beehive, we're afraid the bees are going to be eating the nectar that the mustard plants produce. And then the honey that's produced by the bees is no longer going to be sweet. It's going to be sharp and bitter like the mustard. We're also afraid the bees may be eating the mustard seeds, which are sharp. And because of that, the bees themselves are going to want to consume their own honey because of the fact that they will be eating something that's very sharp. So the Mishnah says you have to distance whatever the distance is supposed to be to make sure it doesn't cause any problems. Rabbi Yossi Matir Bachardal. Rabbi Yossi says that, you know, when it comes to mustard seed, he says you're allowed to plant mustard seeds near bees. He says, why is that so? Because not only do we say that the mustard may potentially harm the bees can harm the mustard. So the one who has the mustard, he shouldn't have to say, we can't tell him distance your mustard from the bees as the according to the Tanakh, because he claimed back, why are you telling me to keep my mustard away from the Devorim? You keep your Devorim away from my Chardo, because each one potentially can harm the other. The bees damage the mustard by eating just as much as the mustard is damaging the bees' honey. Tanakhama says, no, the bees don't damage the mustard. Whatever they grow is going to grow back. Whatever they eat is going to grow back quickly. And therefore, it's only that the chardal, the first item in the Mishnah, is damaging the devorim. And that's why the person with the chardal has to distance the chardal away, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi says, no, each one has that claim. Now, the Gemara, in fact, says that on Daf Yud Chesem at Beis, that Rabbi Yossi doesn't only argue on the case of the mustard and the bees. He argues on all of the cases of the Mishnah. The question is, why then does he only mention I allow the chardal to be placed near the devorim and I'm not worried about that? So before we get to that, we just have to understand what's the basis of the machlokas between the Tanakham and Rabbi Yossi. If in fact Rabbi Yossi allows all of these things, you can place the soaked flax next to the vegetable, not worry. You could place the cress next to the onion, your neighbor's onions, and not worry about that. And of course, as he said, the mustard seed next to the bees, because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, al hanizak laharchik es atzmo min hamazik. It's the nizak, it's the one potentially who may be harmed, who's obligated to ensure that he distances himself from the mazik, which means if a person puts something in his own rishus, something that is not going to be cause damage right now, but may eventually cause damage, so Rabbi Yossi says it's not a problem. A person is able to put that in his rishus, and we'll see that in the next Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to say, according to Rabbi Yossi, zechofer besoch shalav azen note besoch shalav. This person can dig in his rishus, and this person can plant to treat his rishus, and no one has to worry about eventual damage, and we don't have to worry about that. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakham in all of these cases. I can plant my mishra in my backyard, and your yarek is in your backyard. Eventual damage, I don't have to worry about that at all. Of course, the Tanakhama is of the opinion it's not true. It's Ala Mazik who has to be have to make sure to distance himself, and we have to worry about eventual damage as well. So why does Rabbi Yossi only mention that I disagree when it comes to the mustard seed? So the answer is that it's actually telling you that it's Lefi L'Tanakhama, which means like this. I understand very well, according to you, al hamazik laharchich its atzmo, that it's the mazik's obligation to distance himself. So that I hear when it comes to the mishra, the soaked flax, or the kreshen, the cress, when damaging the onions, I get that. Because there's a mazik and a nizak, so the mazik has to be marchik himself from the nizak. But the chardal, why, even according to you, says Rabbi Yossi to the Tanakhama, even according to your logic, that the mazik has to be distance himself from the nizak, as opposed to what I hold, that the nizak has to be marchik himself from the mazik. But according to you, that even with his eventual damage, you have to worry about that. That should not apply to the case of mustard, because both people are a potential mazik. There's no, we don't assume that the mustard person is the mazik and the bees are the people who are the nizak. No, the devorim could damage the chardal as well. So that's what Rabbi Yossi was telling the Tanakhama, and that's why the Mishnah only mentions Rabbi Yossi's matir b'chardal. But in fact, he argues in all cases. In fact, the halacha does follow Rabbi Yossi, that we assume that it is the nizak's obligation, the potential victim who has to distance himself, if there's no, and a person who has places something there that's not causing damage right now, does not have to worry. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shchein in Perek Yud, that nonetheless, Mishra, you do have to distance from Yorok, and Kreshim from Mitzalim, and Chardo from Devorim, how much Shlosha Tfachim? Why three Tfachim if you told me that we follow Rabbi Yossi and I don't have to worry about eventual damage? Because if it's within three Tfachim, then that's Hezek B'Yadayim, that's almost like direct damage, so at least distance it from three, and that would be sufficient.